This is the age of being real. Stories about people who have found their unique path in life at any age. I'm Rhonda Miller. I met Nick Wilkins when he was teaching students to walk on stilts in a summer clowning workshop at Western Kentucky University. That sparked my curiosity about how he kept his enthusiasm and joy through more than 5 decades as a professional clown. Nick Wilkins trained at Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Clown College in Florida. He's nurtured his entertainment, costume, and balloon business by bringing laughter and light to children, businesses, families, and senior citizens in Kentucky and beyond. I talked with Nick Wilkins at his Balloonogram Company in Bowling Green, Kentucky, about how he keeps his joyful perspective amid the usual trials and tribulations of life, and how he knew his path from a very young age.
I was infatuated at probably age 4, and I would always go to the circus and see the clowns and try to, you know, mingle with them, and if I get a chance to talk to them. So I've always been infatuated. And as a young child, I wanted to always be a professional clown, so I have followed my dream.
And you started being aware of that at 4 years old or around then?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Well, part of that had to do with a Emmett Kelly clown doll that I got for Christmas 1 year, which I still have. And I just thought that was the neatest thing. And ironically, that's kind of the similar face that I use today. It wasn't the face that I used when I was in the circus, but it is the face I use now.
What do you think appealed to you about being a clown or about clowns?
I think the fact of their ability to evoke laughter and to get a crowd response and present themselves as a funny person that's having a good time.
How old are you, and how long have you been a clown?
I am 67, and I've been a clown for 51 years.
Did you ever consider not following that path?
No, not in particular. I always said I would be a clown. My goal for profession-wise was to be either to own a store similar that I have now, and definitely be an entertainer. Originally, in high school, I was when I started clowning, I was interested in architecture, and I thought I would be an architect. But my father was a magician. I grew up in the entertainment business, and so it's in my blood. I just thought, you know what, this is what I'm going to do.
So you're really an entertainer, performer. A clown kind of is a limiting description, I guess.
Correct. Yes, correct. It is. It's a little limited.
Do you speak as a clown? Because I know sometimes clowns don't speak.
I do speak as a clown. I mean, I have done some things where I did not, and I have clown friends that are non-speaking in their clown outfit. But yes, I do speak as a clown. I like the interaction with the children and adults. So, and that can be done verbal or nonverbal, but, you know, speaking is okay with me.
So you said you were in the circus. So where did you train to be a clown, and when did you work with the circus?
After I graduated from Western with a degree in Bachelor's of Fine Arts and a commercial art emphasis, I applied for clown college. And so my training was self-taught until that point, and then I was accepted at Clown College. There were 5,287 applicants, and 60 of us got chosen, and 56 of us finished the course, and 37 of us were employed by Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus, the greatest show on earth. So I was trained by the best, absolutely.
Was that the Ringling Brothers Clown School in Florida?
Yes, it was in Venice, Florida. It started in 1968. And then they closed it in 1997, I think, was about the day that they did. So there's still some clown schools, so to speak, here and there. There's one in New York, and then I teach clowning at Western through the Center for Gifted Studies in the summertime. And then I teach sometimes during the year in elementary schools. And so I try to kind of pass my craft along to people that are interested, and also it's just a nice outlet for folks.
What is the main thing you try to teach as a clown when you teach, like, students, either college students or younger kids?
Clown skills, clown history, clown application of makeup, how to design your own costume, slapstick comedy, then, you know, as far as the skills concerned, juggling, unicycle riding, stilt walking, all those particular things. We do some magic and some creative outlets that the, you know, children can come up with on their own, and then we can kind of help them hone those in a little bit. mainly one of the big purposes of teaching is to create a positive attitude for children. I don't allow them to use the word can't. So that's my first day of school. I put that up there, and it works. And in particular, it works. Several years ago, I had two classes, a total of 23 children, and I taught 17 to juggle in 30 minutes because of a positive approach.
Do you ride a unicycle and do stilt walking now?
I do stilt walking. I haven't been on a unicycle in quite a while, but it is my goal this year to get back on it and get her going.
Wow, that sounds challenging.
It is very challenging, yes. It's I think it's one of those things that you usually can hop back on and ride, but the number of years that I have not been on it, it's going to take a little bit of practice. But I did walk stilts last year, and individual asked, "Oh, did you just get on them and go?" And I said, "No, I actually practiced for a little while because it's been a while since I've been on them." So
you have a personality, I guess, as a clown, right? You have to establish like a clown character. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, I'm definitely a jovial individual. I enjoy cutting up with everybody, and I always have a clown nose in my pocket and usually a trick or two. So
I was going to ask you if your personality or your self is different from your clown self. I mean, do you take off your costume and go like, okay, now I'm Nick, you know?
Yeah, sometimes I do. I mean, being a business owner, yeah, sometimes I have to do the things that are involved with business, paperwork and so forth. So, and there's times that I'm like, okay, I've got a balloon delivery. I've got to put a clown suit on. I'm going to all this trouble just for one clown delivery. And then I'm like, you know what? That's good. That's what I do, and that's what it's worth. And it's worth that because you put it on, and it just kind of changes, and you realize that I do what I like. I'm going to go out and create laughter for people that in this world today, there's so much negativity, and I just want to give them a chance to just stop their brain for enough time to just laugh and smile. And, you know, it's contagious. It's good. I'm a positive person. I kind of run from negative people. I used to try to convert them. Now I run from them.
that's an interesting way to kind of avoid negativity.
Yes. I mean, you know, hey, life is 90% attitude, 10% showing up. So that's my motto.
So what is your clown name and what's the character you sort of developed?
Clown name is Broadway the Clown. I often get asked, you know, where did that name come from? And it came from a classmate in high school. I was playing football, and at the time Broadway Joe Namath was a quarterback, and I was kind of the last string quarterback, and I was a character back then as well. So he just named me Broadway and didn't much care for it right off the bat. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to be a clown, I'll just use that as my clown name. So, my character is, a lot of facial expressions, a lot of physical humor, more of a, based on somewhat of a, Emmett Kelly. I was also greatly influenced by Red Skelton, who was I just thought he was kind of an idol. I kind of idolized him in a way, and I got to meet him and got his autograph and talked to him for a brief moment. But what a great pantomimist and entertainer. Just was the old style, which I really like. I like some of the older folks, the slapstick comedy with Charlie Chaplin and Laurel and Hardy and Abbott and Costello and the Marx Brothers, and even the Three Stooges were way ahead of their time. And those are kind of the pioneers that laid down elements, I think, for what we have today.
So you played football in high school or college?
High school, yes. Up until my junior year. And then when I started clowning, I didn't play anymore. I was in the band, but I just was full-time working with my dad and the magic shows that we traveled around with. And then I did the same thing in college. I did entertainment with my dad's show. It was a two-hour show and involved my sister, who did illusions and dancing. My brother did escapes, and my mom was a glue that held it all together. She took care of the backstage and things that, as far as getting tricks ready, and then when they're finished, packing them up ready to load up. So, my mom and dad knew each other from kindergarten on. So, he always said when he married her, that was one knot he couldn't untie.
Wow, that's a long relationship.
Yes, it was. Yes, and unfortunately, he passed away a month after his 52nd birthday, so very young. And my mom was passed away when she was my age, when she was 67. So, but you know what? Every day is a blessing. I just keep on trucking.
Wow. And You've lived in Bowling Green your whole life?
I have not. I am a native of Hopkinsville, Kentucky. I moved away from there when I was 5 to Benton, Kentucky, and came to Bowling Green when I was 9 because my father was on air and in sales at WLTV, which is the first television station that became WBKO. And so that's what got us here in Bowling Green. Then I lived in Florida for 2 years when I was in the circus.
So your dad was on TV?
Yes. Mm-hmm. My dad was in radio and television and newspaper. He was just a media guy. But television was the first, was his last, actually, part of that media, and that was here in Bowling Green.
What did he do on TV?
He did news. He did sports, mainly news, and then he did a lot of promotions and advertisements, that sort of thing. He sold advertising, but he was also on air as well. He produced a couple of pretty interesting shows. One had to do with Edgar Casey, which is from this area. He actually was from Hopkinsville. My great aunt got to see one of his readings. He was a sleeping prophet. He was a clairvoyant. So Dad did several. He did a two-hour special on that and some other things, and very active in the community. So.
And meanwhile, he was a magician and performing as a magician.
Yes, performed as a magician, and then we put together a two-hour show, which had other we had a ventriloquist friend of ours from Hopkinsville by the name of Bill Bowley. He was excellent. We had, of course, my family, and then we had dancers, and we had usually another magician. And then Dad always, if there was a young person that wanted a exposure, so to speak, to an audience as far as their craft. And so sometimes if we were in a town and he knew of anybody that was interested in doing magic, then he would give them a chance to showcase. He would give them a little spot on the show. You know, it was kind of neat to get their start.
So you had a very close family.
Absolutely.
Everybody worked in the performance business.
Absolutely, yes, we did.
So do people ask you if there are times when you go through difficult things, like do you have to try to be funny or, you know, everybody can't be happy all the time. I'm just wondering how you separate that, like if something is troubling or disturbing and how you deal with that. And do you still just go out and have your clown personality?
I do. I think I just focus on that and try to leave the other, situation aside. Even when my dad passed away, obviously was there, but I kept my business going for a day or so until the visitation and funeral and such, but I'm a firm believer the show must go on. I think in my 51 years, I've only missed two or three performances, and that was just because of illness. So,
you're 67. Do people ask you if you're going to retire?
Oh, I get it all the time.
Really?
Yes. Even yesterday, someone asked me, and I'm like, yeah, I just retired. I did. I retired last week. I put a new set of Michelin tires on my van, so that's retiring. No, I have no intention of retiring. But even if I do, from the business standpoint, I will still clown. I love it. I just really enjoy making people laugh, evoking emotions and so forth. And my favorite place to clown, which I get asked that question often, is a parade. When you're doing a stage show, you have a captive audience. But in a parade, you have continual audiences on both sides of the street. So you can try new things. If I want to try a new gag and it doesn't work here, well, maybe down the street on the other side or the same side, it might work. So I just love it because you have continual audiences. It's so much fun.
How do you think you keep up your energy all this time and your sense of humor and all that? Because people, people sometimes get tired or they change careers or whatever. But how do you keep up that energy?
Well, I think a lot of that is attitude. I'll have to say, the older I get, I don't have as much as I had, but I just keep trucking. But I think attitude plays a big role in it.
So you got the attitude from where?
I think my dad and my mom, both of them, treat people the way you want to be treated, be kind, and just be positive about things. It goes a long way.
Is there something you're looking forward to doing that you haven't done yet?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward at some point to maybe working on cruise ships. I'd love to maybe do some stints back in circuses. However, there's not too many tent shows out there anymore. Ringling Brothers and Waterman and Bailey, they're not even putting the label circus on it now. And so they're bringing the show back, but it's titled Ringling Brothers and Waterman and Bailey. No animals, no clowns. It's all going to be, I think, more of a Cirque du Soleil type thing. In my opinion, it's not the same. You don't have when they did away with the elephants, I'm like, well, it's not the same. However, there are still circuses out there. Every year in Evansville, Indiana, Thanksgiving weekend, they have a shrine circus, and it is fantastic. They have they usually have a cat act. They have this last year they had probably 8 elephants, and very, very superb entertainment.
I know at times there are European groups that travel.
Yeah. A lot of European groups come here. Yeah. There were a lot of European groups when I was in the show. Our polar bear act was from Germany, and then the dog act was from England. So there was there's a lot of different ones.
So, Nick, what kind of events do you perform at?
You know, I do a ton of birthday parties. So I tell people anything from a birthday party to a corporate event. I do corporate picnics, corporate meetings, parties for every occasion as far as holidays, Easter and Christmas and Halloween, and do a lot of magic shows and clowning as well. So just in any type of event that's either, like tonight I'm doing an event that now I won't be in a clown suit, but I'm doing an event at a business that has been bought out from another business, so they're kind of getting reestablished with their name brand, and I'll be doing magic and balloons, and that's just at an office situation. So sporting events, sometimes I do stuff for the Hot Rods here in Bowling Green, and I performed in Louisville, I performed in New York, I performed in California, Florida, so one of these days I'm going to sit down and see how many states I have been in as far as performing.
What's the most difficult?
I would say the age group would be junior high to high school. They're a tough bunch.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Actually, in this day and time with social media, and I attribute this to one of the reasons why, in my opinion, why Ringling Brothers closed, you would see people, families leaving at intermission and or maybe even towards the second half of the show. And I think it is because the children are so accustomed to social media and looking up things on their phone, and so they're distracted. And, as far as creativity, I found that out in even teaching in the elementary schools. Children are not nearly as creative as they were 10, 15 years ago. And I think it's, attributed to cell phones, being able to look stuff up on YouTube and not really coming up with their own ideas, which is what I do in teaching in the summer. The best part about it, one of the camps that I teach, when they arrive at Western, they are have to surrender their cell phone for 2 weeks. They do get it back once or twice during the week to call home. They also are not allowed to watch any television. So it forces them to communicate with their peers. And I think that is fantastic, because social interaction is so much more important to me than it is to, interact through text. It's just not the same.
I did have a teacher tell me once that she thought kids had trouble reading because they were losing their sense of imagination. So it's hard for them to imagine, sort of like the scenes. So when you read, let's say, a book or a story of some sort, you start imagining the story. And she said she thought they were actually losing that ability.
Oh, I think so. I can tell these children, give them the basis of a clown gag or a clown skit, and they'll, well, I don't know what to do. They'll go, I don't know what to do, but I just gave you the elements.
So, like, what is an element?
Well, like a scenario. You're in a park, a city park, and people are coming by. You're sitting on a bench, and come up with something funny, or even give them a clown nose or a blank clown face. I have masks that I give them. It's blank, and just say, I want you to, be funny, do some physical comedy. And so what that does is force them not to be able to use their face. So they have to use their limbs to be creative and to make people laugh. But their creativity has just been stifled, I think, tremendously by social media.
And you have this balloonogram company, right?
Yes.
How did you start that? Because your degree is in art?
Art. I actually came back from the circus, and I was dating a young lady who was from Baltimore, Maryland, and up in the cities they had started a balloon delivery company in the bigger cities, which started actually in England. They were delivering flowers, and they were selling balloons on the street, and they said, well, hey, why don't we just deliver balloons? And that's kind of how the industry started many years ago. So I decided I was going to do that, and I researched several different companies in several cities in the surrounding areas, and came up with I went with a company in Nashville, and then I broke away and was on my own. I'm very, being a positive person, I started this business with a $500 investment, and I'm still in business 42 years later. So
you started the Balloonogram 42 years ago?
Yes, $500 investment.
What did you invest in, balloons?
Balloons, yes. And I put together a business plan and presented it to the bank. Originally, they turned me down because I didn't have any collateral. I just came back from the circus. So I did a business plan and went back to the bank and had to go before a loan committee and gave me the money, and I'm still with that bank. However, during that waiting time, I went on and got the money from a friend and a relative. So I started my business before I ever even got the loan, paid it back, and we're still at it. So
I've seen some of your balloon creations in photos, and they seem very intricate. They're not like just delivering balloons.
Oh, no. No, that, you know, that's another thing with this industry. When you get competition, you just have to find ways to be creative and come up with your own concepts of the entertainment or the balloons. And, yes, the balloon decorating has been a big plus in the last 5 or 6 years. In particular, during the COVID years, I was able to do things and put them in people's yards. So there wasn't any physical contact or any contact close to people. And that was a big saver for me. I think finally that's where my art degree can come in, where I can design balloon decorations and balloon sculptures and be able to use my degree in that sense.
How many balloons would you use in a sculpture?
Oh, you know, I've probably used over 1,000 balloons in some of them. Doing a balloon wall requires a whole lot of balloons and a lot of time. There's one thing in my profession, whether it's being a clown or doing balloons, and that is the word patience. If you don't have patience, you're in the wrong business. Because, and also, I always tell people I always have a plan B and a plan C. So, you know, I don't worry about that. I just go with it and keep trucking. So that's just the way the nature of the biz. You know, actually, we're having trouble, like a lot of people. It's getting a little bit better, but during the COVID years, we were really having trouble trying to find product. There were several times where a person wanted a certain color, I wasn't able to get it. So I had to stuff one balloon in another balloon, just like you would mix paint, in order to get a color. So basically, you're doing that job twice because you're using two balloons, which is very time-consuming, but, you know, you do what you have to do.
I'm just wondering how you keep up your business, because it would seem like, you know, there's only so many clients you could have. Or do you have a lot of repeat clients?
I have a whole lot of repeat clients. I'm very blessed. Yeah, I mean, there's people that have been with me for, you know, almost since day one.
Different occasions?
Yes. Different occasions, yes. Yeah. And I'm able, and, you know, I've done entertainment for families that are second-generation children, and in a couple of instances, third generations. But it doesn't make me feel any older.
So I was going to say, how you keep up your energy? How do you keep up your energy? What do you do to keep up your energy? Yeah. Because performing is very energetic.
Oh, it is, yeah.
What do you do to keep up all that energy?
Well, I do exercise some, probably not as much as I should, but I think a lot of it is an adrenaline type thing, because, you know, when I know I have a show coming up, and I just like, wow, I get to perform tonight, I'm looking forward to this, or if I know that I have a new trick, or I've refurbished one, and I'm like, oh, I get to use that tonight, or today, or whatever, so, you know, that kind of kicks your energy in as well.
So do you have any kind of motto that you go by or live by? Because, you know, a lot of people, I don't know, I guess when people think about leaving a job or work, they retire, they're going to go play golf or travel or something like that. But I just wonder how you discovered your path and kept at it this long. Like, is there a motto that keeps you on it?
Ooh, very good question. A motto.
Or something you live by?
I think that, and, you know, even in the youth of today, I would encourage them to find something that they're super interested in and stay with it. Even if it's just in the workforce, you know, there's so many places anymore that if you work with them and you stay with them all these years, you're going to have a good retirement and you're going to be fine. So I think it's kind of like the old cliche of there's sawdust in my blood, so to speak, like the circus. that I just enjoy what I do. And I mean, people ask me all the time, don't you get tired of being a clown? Or you know, how do you, I mean, you deal with a lot of, you know, people, and I'm sure you get some feedback. Oh, I get, I've had some comments made to me off and on over the years, like, oh, can't you find a better job or that sort of thing? I'm like, this is my job and I thoroughly enjoy it. So that's
it's more than a job, though.
It is more than a job. It's a passion. I mean, clowning is right here from your heart. And then, you know, when I teach clowning, I say clowning, my title is Clowning is a Serious Business, which is an oxymoron but it is. I mean, putting on a clown face and going out and being a clown is not the same as putting on a clown face and putting your heart in it and studying the elements that come to it and being able to create.
How long does it take you to prepare with your costume and makeup and all that?
I spend about 45 minutes usually from start to finish. I don't get in a big hurry anymore. My record of putting my clown face on is 8 minutes, but usually anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour if I just want to, you know, take my time, and I'm pretty particular about making sure the face is the same every time.
Really? So, it has to be exactly the same?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Really? Mm-hmm. All this time?
Yes, yes. You know, in Ringling Brothers, I had a face that took an hour and 20 minutes to apply when I first put it on, and I narrowed it down to about 40 minutes. But then you have time, you know, it's going to take you 5 to 10 minutes to take it off. I tell people, like, well, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to de-clown. Yeah.
What do you have coming up now, say, in the next few weeks? What kind of occasions?
Retirement party. I have a couple of birthday parties. I have a library show. I think one corporate event. So, you know, I'm great to be very, very blessed to be busy. You know, at one point, several years ago, when entertainment was really hopping, I would clown probably, 125 times a year. And I think last year I might have done 75 or 80, which was good, considering coming off of COVID. But I tell you right now, people are starving for entertainment, live entertainment now, since COVID is kind of diminishing, I say.
Anything I didn't ask you that you would like to share with people? Or,
you know, one of my mottos, I think, is just do something every day that makes someone smile. You know, a smile is a mile long between the two S's, so it's great. It's just, laughter is contagious, and laughter is the best medicine, and that's been proven in medical professions and so forth. There's clowning groups that actually go to hospitals, and I just think that, you know, there's so much gloom and doom in the news and everywhere in today's world, and it seems like it's getting worse in some areas, but if you can just kind of put that aside for a minute and laugh, it's very good for the soul and the physical being.
Thanks, Nick. Great talking to you.
Good to talk with you.
I've been talking with Nick Wilkins about his more than 5 decades as a professional clown. You can read more about Wilkins in a piece I wrote for Next Avenue, a digital publication of PBS based at Twin Cities PBS. That story is online at nextavenue.org with the headline, A Clown About Town. Music for The Age of Being Real is graciously provided by the Kentucky Standard Band. I'm Rhonda Miller in Bowling Green, Kentucky.